Let's take our Bibles and look again in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 to 17. We began looking at this passage last time before we had to stop, so I want to come back to it. And the title of this study is A Parable of Old Things Made New. In verse 14, we read, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" At the time that our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, they were still under the Old Testament law that required certain days for fasting. And certainly, John, being one of the last of the Old Testament prophets, taught his disciples to fast on those days according to the law. Those days of fasting that God required under the law, it wasn't for any kind of legal requirement, but these were days set aside for worship of the Lord. And certainly it would have been in this way that John the Baptist would have taught those that followed him in humiliation and preparation for the coming of the Lamb of God. The Pharisees, however, had made a religious work out of fastings, like so many do today, that think that somehow by their fastings they're gaining favor with God. So here, the disciples of John come to the right person, because in verse 14 it says, "Then came to him," that is to Christ, "the disciples of John, asking him concerning these things." This is always a good thing, that whenever we have questions, our hearts be drawn to Christ and not to men. So this parable that we find here in verses 15 through 17 is how our Lord answered their question. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ did not come into this world to continue what men had established, but rather to establish his church, his kingdom, by his righteousness and his shed blood.
So here in verse
15, he says unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast.
Ndifanya kumutima ya 15 ambu Yesu wakuta na yankanati kwa iyo, na anga anyemata nyumba ya ukwati, anga tegulira kodi, ntawi mene mkwati akala nao. Kuma azafika masiku mene mkwati azajusido kwa iyo, ndipo pumwepo azasala kuja.
So we see a transition here when the Lord says, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them. Here our Lord is using the illustration of a wedding feast when he speaks of a bridegroom.
Abatu ambu Yesu amakawa uzantu mchitishimene shima oneka kapena chitishimene shima chitika patipakatipao mutawi ya ukwati kapena ya mkwati.
And when he says, can the children of the bride chamber mourn, he's talking about friends that have been invited to a wedding feast.
Ndipo mena manila kuti kodi anyamata anyumba ya ukwati. Ako zaulira amakata ntau amakafoto kozira chimene chima chitika. Muntaimina ukwati ukujitika kapena zima chitika pakati pao pa wanthu.
Oftentimes the wedding feasts back in Christ's day would last up to a week long.
Masiku tu ambuye Yesu chisangalalo cha ukwati chimachitika pafupi sabata ya tuntu.
And it was understood that during that time, that those that attended would be rejoicing. It was a time of gladness. And so here, our Lord is describing his day because he's the bridegroom and he's come to marry a people unto himself by his death on the cross. And so he tells them that this is a time of rejoicing and not of fasting. You can imagine if someone was getting married and they invited friends to the wedding feast, but they just sat there at table and refused to eat because they said, no, we're fasting. The Lord says that does not make sense. So this parable that our Lord is telling is striking at the heart of these Pharisees that opposed him. Christ's coming into the world was as a wedding feast because he came to gather to himself those sinners that the Father had given him and would lay down his life for them. And so he's saying, this is a time of rejoicing. All that the Old Testament ceremonies foretold of his coming now was coming to fulfillment. And those that Christ came to save and to make part of his bride were rejoicing. They were gathering with him. We saw that in verse 10 of Matthew 9, the last time, how that these were sinners, publicans and sinners that came and sat down with him and his disciples.
And amisonko amene anakhala naye pamodzi ndi kudya naye.
But as verse 11 reminds us, when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?
Koma mundime yake 11 tiona sopano kunena kuti pamene afarisi anachiona ichichi anakhumudwa ndikuyamba kufunsa kunena kuti nchifukwa chani mphunzitsi wanu akudya pamodzi kumakhala pamodzi ndi anthu ochimwa ndi amisonko.
Rather than rejoicing in the bridegroom, which is who Christ is here, and eating with publicans and sinners, they found fault with him. So this is what Christ declares there in verse 15. They were upset at him being delighted in these sinners that he was gathering around him. But the Lord is saying in verse 15, now is not the time to mourn. This is a time of rejoicing because the bridegroom has come. But then he lets them know in verse 15, the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Here in the midst of their rejoicing as he gathered these sinners around him, he lets them know that there would come a time when he would be taken from them. Here he's talking about his being taken away from them in death because they would attack him and crucify him. And when he says there, then shall they fast, he's talking about it once he's taken away from them, a time of mourning, and they would grieve. And certainly we know that was so when Christ was crucified and buried. The disciples were scattered, and they met in a room, frightened, not knowing what was next. And it took the Lord coming again to them and speaking peace to them, that they might know that though he was dead, yet he was alive. But those days of fasting that he describes there were the 3 days that he was in the tomb, and he had been taken from them physically, and yet he was ever present with them spiritually. And so it's in this context, in verses 16 and 17, that our Lord teaches this parable of old things made new. When he says, no man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up, taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. What the Lord Jesus is saying here is that when he came into this world, it wasn't to patch up the law. It wasn't to fix up what men could not fix. You see, the Jews and these Pharisees, they were looking for the Messiah to come because they had the Old Testament scriptures saying he would come. But their thinking was that when he came, he would identify with them in their religious works and in their Judaism. In fact, that's why they called him rabbi, because they called themselves rabbi. They thought that he would be their equal. But what the Lord is saying in this parable in verse 16, because the new piece of cloth that he describes there is his work of righteousness, that garment that he came to earn and establish and impute upon completion of his work at the cross. And he uses the same illustration in verse 17. He says, neither do men put new wine into old bottles or old wineskins, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. So here our Lord is clearly illustrating that he did not come to repair or reform the old institutions of Judaism, but to institute a new covenant altogether. The new covenant, that's what we have, the New Testament in the scriptures, doesn't just go back and try to improve the old. No, it replaces it and establishes something altogether new. There are many people still today that try to say that they're following Christ, and yet at the same time, they're trying to put you back under the law. That can't be. It's not that the Lord Jesus Christ just set aside the law. No, he came to fulfill it. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, this is what we read. He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And In fact, in verse 18, he continues, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till what? All be fulfilled."
Kufikira litapitirira thambo ndi dziko kalemba kakang'ono kamodzi kapena kansonga kache kamodzi sikazachokera kuchilamulo kufikira zitachitidwa zonse.
So here were these in his day who were Judaizers. They were trying to promote the law and Moses and expected that the Lord Jesus Christ would do the same. But he lets them know, no, you can't take a new garment to patch up an old one. You can't take new wine and put it into old wineskins.
Ndeto apatikuona Ayuda mthai imene iyi amene amalemekeza kwambiri chilamulo ndi miyambo ya Mose amayembekezera kuti Yesu Kristu sakhoza kubwera ndi kumalemekeza ndi kumatumikira mu chilamulo chomwe chija ndi miyambo ya Mose ndi Yesu Kristu amawuza kuti ayi simungatengeti chovala cha nyuwani ndi kukachika kuchigamba kuchovala nsalu ya nyuwani kukayika kuchigamba cha chovala cha kale ayi.
And I would say, in addition to that, today we can't preach the sovereign grace of God in Christ Jesus and at the same time preach man and his works. The two cannot go together. So the Lord is declaring here that he did not come to try to fix up the law that men broke anyway, and somehow then combined with what he was doing, that they would have a blessing before God. By the time Christ had come into the world, at this time the Jews had so perverted the law anyway. They had all kinds of additions that they had added to it, and it in no way represented the law as God had given it to begin with. So the Lord is telling them that he came to fulfill all that God had revealed in the law, and that in so doing, he would gather a people together into a new body that would be made up both of Jew and Gentile. If you'll look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, I want to show you how this pertains to what we're studying here.
17.
It says here, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So the parable we're looking at is how Christ came to make all things new. Not to patch up the old, but to make all things new, as it says here in verse 17, "Behold, all things are become new." Now, the way this verse 17 is often interpreted is that when you become a Christian, now you become a new person, And everything that you were before is passed away, and now you have a new life in Christ. That's often how this verse is interpreted. But any of us that are the Lord's and in whom Christ has been revealed, we'll have to admit and confess that we still have this old flesh. And in that sense, all things have not become new. We still struggle with sin. And that's where works preachers, they keep trying to tell people, well, keep working on it. You have that sin, but now you've got to make things new. They put the work on the sinner. But like Christ said, you can't take a new garment and patch up an old garment with it, because it'll end up tearing the old garment. And you can't take new wine, which represents the work of Christ, and put it into old wineskins and expect that somehow now you're going to be without sin. So when Christ came and finished the work that he did, what became new? That's the question. When it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In other words, he is now in a new standing in Christ than what he was before.
Repeat the statement, brother.
When it says here that if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature, it means now he is in a new position, a new standing before God than what he was before.
Last two according to more, Bogulam Pulasa Montwamene was in Tika, Amene Carillo Secarilla Gira Choka, Labella Latobano.
So, what is new in Christ? It means that those that Christ has saved are no longer under the law and under the condemnation of the law.
Gonce Amene Aprum Sido Sakalapansi.
When it says, behold, all things are become new, it's talking about our new standing before God in that righteousness and that justification that he accomplished on behalf of those sinners for whom he died. It doesn't mean that now we are sinless and all things have become new in our person. We're still who we are as sinners. But as a new creature in Christ, it means now we stand before God in Christ's righteousness. That's the new wine, his shed blood.
Denobonga orengedwa watsopano.
timavala chilungamo cha Yesu Kristu ni kuima nacho pamaso pa Ambuye ngati vinyo watsopano amene wachotsedwa wakale.
And that's what he explains in verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, how? By Jesus Christ. So the old garment represents the law, which can only condemn. The new garment represents the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness imputed to the sinner. Christ did not come to tell sinners, well, you keep trying to keep the law, and wherein you fail, now I will fill in the rest. That's not what he said. Christ was declaring to try to take his work and patch up man's works can only destroy man's works. The same thing with a wineskin, an old wineskin. If you take new wine and put it in an old wineskin, as that wine ferments, the skin is going to expand and burst because the old would be brittle. So here our Lord is declaring very clearly, coming back to our text here in Matthew chapter 9, that he didn't come into the world to try to fix up man's works, but rather to work out a righteousness himself, once imputed to those sinners, would give those sinners right standing before God. This is what the writer to the Hebrews was stating in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13. Verse 13, he said, in that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. This gives us clearly how it is we're to preach the scriptures. We don't go back to the Old Testament and try to preach up the law. And then jump over to the New Testament and somehow try to preach Christ. No, the scriptures are one. What we preach is that the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ came and fulfilled.
Ndichimene chipangano chakale chinakhazikitsa kulankhulira.
And having fulfilled the Old Testament law that none of us could keep anyway, now in Christ we have this new standing with him. That's the new wine. That's the new garment. If you look also in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 10, the very next chapter, Hebrews 9 and verse 10. You notice it says, speaking of the law, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal or fleshly ordinances, but notice, imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Until the time of Reformation, until the time that he brought in a change. What change did he bring in? It says in verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of what? Good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. The change was that he came and fulfilled all that the Old Testament portrayed of him. The Old Testament had its high priest, but here Christ is the high priest. The Old Testament had that tabernacle, but here Christ is that tabernacle. The Old Testament had its sacrifices, but Christ now is the fulfillment. As it says in verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, notice, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So you can see, coming back here to my text, to conclude that the work that the Lord Jesus Christ came to accomplish, he fulfilled, and that's what's represented by the new garment and the new wineskin. The old, representing the law, was stagnant and could not be renewed or reformed. It couldn't save anybody. The new represents the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and that righteousness that he came and earned and established and God imputed, and thereby his people are saved. So you can see here how the Lord is telling them, and again, the picture of a wedding feast. It's a time of rejoicing. The Lord Jesus Christ does not call his people to fasting, but to feasting. The Lord Jesus Christ removes the sackcloth and ashes from his people and clothes them in a robe of righteousness that he has earned and established. And rather than a spirit of heaviness, is like the Pharisees wanted. They wanted to impose the law on the people, but rather than that spirit of heaviness, now there's a garment of praise. Now, as Christ is revealed, rather than mourning, there's joy. Joy in the bridegroom. And rather than the law, which can only condemn, now it's the grace of God in Christ Jesus in which sinners rejoice. So this is the Reformation. This is the change. This is that which is new that Christ came to establish. He didn't come just to patch up sinners wherein they have disobeyed the law. No, he gives them that righteous standing in his righteousness that he established on their behalf. And that's what his salvation is all about, him giving sinners that perfect standing before God because of his great work accomplished on their behalf.
To God be all the glory and honor because of the beauty of time.